We are in a series. We've been in a series for the last couple of weeks where we're looking at this topic of wisdom. We're talking about wisdom. What is wisdom? And what more specifically is godly wisdom? We've been dealing with a few questions. What does it look like to live wisely in our world today? What does it mean to walk in godly wisdom? And so we have been exploring this as we've gone back through a few passages in the Old Testament. We began with the book of Job, as you may remember, a couple of weeks ago. And we learned from the book of Job that wisdom is not something that humans, that people can discover on their own, but that wisdom belongs to the Lord. Wisdom is in God. We read in Job chapter 28 and verse 28 that the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to shun evil is understanding. True wisdom is going to be found in the Lord. True wisdom is the Lord. In our last lesson last week, we talked about seeing God's wisdom through his creation, the things that he created. Genesis 1 and 2, everything we noticed last week was ordered. It was purposeful. It was whole. God declared it good. He placed humans in the midst of the garden and invited them to live within his wisdom, to live in the garden, trusting his design, living a life of wisdom there in the garden. And that thought is going to push us forward to what I want us to talk about today. In Genesis 3, it shows us what happens next. What happens when trust is broken? There's a tension that's created. And we all live within this story of tension that began on the first pages of our scripture. We want guidance for our lives. We want clarity for our lives. I think we want it. We desire to know what's right. But at the same time, we want guidance. We want direction. We want clarity. We want to know right from wrong. At the same time, we also want control. And that creates a tension. We want to decide for ourselves ultimately what's good, what's right, what makes sense. And that tension that we feel in our day today is not a new tension at all, is it? It began in the garden, in Genesis 3. And our challenge today is I want you to think of Genesis 3 not just about a story of sin, although we are introduced to a few new voices in Genesis 3, but I want you to think about this in a different light. Genesis 3 is also telling us a story about autonomy. What it is to take things into my own hands. And one of the things that we see out of Genesis 3 is that foolishness begins when we trust ourselves more than we trust God. Foolishness begins when we trust ourselves more than we trust God. So Genesis 1 and 2, as we mentioned, a place of order, a place of abundance, of blessing, of goodness, of wholeness. God creates a world that reflects his wisdom, and he places the man and the woman in the garden, not as owners of the garden, but as stewards of God's good creation. They're invited to live in his wisdom. So we notice Genesis chapter 2 and verses 15 through 17. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. The Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, But you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Now, for some reason, in our minds, we have a tendency to focus on the one thing God said don't do. Right? We always come to this passage and we focus on the tree that God said, don't touch it, don't eat of this tree. That's where our attention immediately goes. But do you notice what God said? You're free to partake of anything that I've created. Of all the abundance, of all that has been created, you're free to partake of that. But there's just one guideline here. Don't partake of this one tree. There's a guideline that's set, and it's not really about a boundary as much as it's about a relationship. It's an invitation to trust that God knows what's truly good, that God knows what's truly best. It's an invitation to trust God. And this is where the fracture of wisdom begins. It begins with a question. Genesis 3 introduces another voice in the garden. Genesis 3 and verse 1, a serpent. The serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree of the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat fruit from the trees of the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die. You will not certainly die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good from evil. You notice the serpent begins with a question. Did God really say? And just like that, everything shifts. The focus shifts from one of trusting God to one of being suspicious of God. From one of receiving God's wisdom to now evaluating God's wisdom. Can I really trust God, or is he somehow holding out on me? Doubt is placed in the mind of the first man and woman by this serpent. And this temptation becomes evident, a temptation that should sound familiar. It's when we decide to choose for ourselves what's wise and what's unwise, or what's good and what's evil. The moment in our story where the decision comes is found in verse 6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also for desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. It's interesting that I stumbled over those words because I wanted to point them out. How many times have we heard, oh, that woman? I mean, that was what Adam said, right? He blames his wife. But you notice in the passage, and yes, I checked this in the New King James and other translations as well, Adam was right there. Do you see that? It wasn't that the serpent approached Eve and Eve only, but Adam was right there. We don't know what he was doing. Perhaps standing by, maybe he pushed his wife up front a little. I don't know, but he was there. It was their decision, their choice. The fruit, it's pleasing to the eye. It makes sense. I mean, it looks good to eat. It seems right, after all. But beneath the surface, there's something deeper going on. It's not just a bad choice. It's a shift in authority. Instead of trusting God and his definition of what is good, humanity chooses for themselves what's good, what's right, what's evil. See, biblical wisdom is not just knowing the right thing to do. It's not just knowing what's right. Biblical wisdom is trusting the one who defines what is right. Biblical wisdom is trusting the one who defines what is right and what is good. And in this moment, trust is replaced with autonomy. I want to do it on my own. And immediately, you guys know the story, right? What happens? We begin to see everything unravel. In Genesis chapter 3 and verses 7 through 13, we're not going to read that whole text, but essentially what we see is there's shame introduced. There's hiding. There's the blame game that takes place. The harmony of the garden gives way to disorder. Chaos, if you will. And by the end of the chapter, humanity is driven out of the garden. And this is an important detail. I want you to just kind of plant this in your head for a moment. When we choose our wisdom over the wisdom of God, it moves us away from the garden. When I choose my wisdom over God's wisdom, it's a movement away from the garden, a movement away from wholeness, a movement away from trust, a movement away from the way God intended life to be. And we would like to stand back and say, well, Genesis 3, that's just kind of the exception, isn't it? But that's not what we see. Genesis 3 is not really the exception. As we continue to read the Bible, Genesis 3 becomes a very familiar and repeated pattern in the Scripture. Just a couple of examples, but consider Abraham, the father of the faithful. Was he trusting God or did he take control? At times, both. God made a promise to Abraham, a promise of a son and a future. We see the beginnings of that promise in Genesis chapter 12 as we move through the Bible. But as time passes, we jump to Genesis 15. What happens? Abraham and Sarah begin to question. And by the time we reach Genesis 16, they've decided to take matters into their own hands. I don't know if I can trust this God. Seems like he's holding out on us. And instead of trusting in God's timing, they devise their own solution. And what happens? Their choice creates tension. Their choice creates conflict and long-term consequences. Even a man known for his great faith, and surely he was a man of great faith, struggled with the question, do I trust God's wisdom or do I rely on my own? We could follow example after example, but I would remind us of the example of David, King David, and who the Scriptures record is a man after God's own heart. Yet, he drifted, didn't he? David sees Bathsheba on a rooftop. And instead of trusting God's design, that looks pretty pleasing to the eye. That is desirable. He follows his own desire. And if you're familiar with the story, what happens is just a cascade, if you will, of bad decisions. One right after the another. There's abuse. There's deception. There's manipulation. There's even violence and a plot of murder that's carried out. The result of his choices, it's not just personal guilt, but it's a path of brokenness. And again, we see the pattern. When we define good and evil for ourselves, it leads us away from the life that God intends for us to have. It leads us away from the garden. Looking back, there's a picture that emerges of wisdom. Wisdom's not just about making the right decisions. It's about trusting God's definition. About trusting God's direction for what's good, for what's right, for what's just. It's about believing and understanding that His way leads to life, even when it's difficult, even when it doesn't make a lot of sense. Foolishness, on the other hand, it's not just ignorance of something. It's choosing to trust myself over the wisdom of God. Foolishness is saying, I know what God said, but I know better. After all, God really doesn't know my circumstance. He doesn't really know what I'm struggling with and what I'm dealing with in the 21st century. When I choose my wisdom over the wisdom of God, I'm stepping away from the garden. But the biblical story doesn't end in Genesis. It doesn't end with Abraham or even a great king such as David. The biblical story continues. And it points us in the direction of a faithful human. The story brings us to Jesus. And where humanity failed, Jesus is faithful. He's the faithful Adam. He's the faithful Israelite. And in Matthew chapter 4, we read that Jesus faced temptation in the wilderness. And notice the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, how similar it is to Genesis in the garden. Questions. Doubt. Opportunities to take control when a voice sneaks in from the outside. Where Adam and Eve grasp for autonomy, Jesus chooses to trust. He doesn't redefine what's good and what's right. He anchors himself in the Word of God. He trusts the Father fully. He trusts him all the way to the cross. See, Jesus is the faithful one who didn't choose his desire over the Father's will. And we see that, I think, perhaps illustrated best in Paul's letter to the Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church, says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Jesus doesn't seize control for himself. He surrenders. He humbles himself. And he trusts the Father. And in doing so, what Jesus does is he opens a way back to life, back to relationship. He opens a way back to the garden. You and I today, you know, we may not stand in front of a tree each day. In fact, I don't know when the last time you've probably stood in front of a tree and had a choice to make. But we face similar choices, do we not? We face the choices each day to trust God's wisdom or to divine things on my own terms. And often the choice that we have to make, it doesn't seem so dramatic, does it? It feels reasonable. It's the logical thing to do. It feels justified. It feels right in the moment. This is what should be done. But if we're careful, we notice these are all things that we discover along the path in the garden. And the question that's underneath it all is, do I trust God for what's good? For what's wise? For what's right? And every time I would decide to choose my way over the way of the Father, I take a step away from the garden. I take a step away from the life He intended for me. Every time when we trust Him, even when it's hard, we move closer to the life that He intends for us. Foolishness begins when we trust ourselves more than when we trust God. But wisdom is choosing to trust Him, even though I may not fully understand the moment. Wisdom is choosing to trust God, even though I may not fully understand the moment that I find myself in.